All set? All righty. Good morning, everyone. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. My name is Julie Fedorchak. It's 10 o'clock on Wednesday, October 6th of 2021. Also present with me are Commissioners Randy Christman and Brian Crosius, so we have a quorum. Today, we are celebrating, along with our esteemed executive director, another trip around the sun for Steve. Happy birthday, Steve.
Thank you.
We'll have to find an appropriate time to fully celebrate, but can't take the opportunity of a commission meeting. Can't let that go past without embarrassing you publicly. But seriously, happy birthday, and thank you for all of your hard work and endless commitment to this agency all these many years. And now as our executive director, you do a great job for us. We really appreciate your service. So thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day. You should be taking it off.
This is not a good one.
And that's it for my opening comments. I'll pass it over to you, Commissioner Christman.
Well, I agree. Happy birthday, Steve. And the only other thing, and I really didn't prepare anything because I thought the chairman would cover this, but and I've been so busy, I'm not really sure of all the details of how the all-important NDSU-UND football game went on Saturday, but regardless how it went, I'll just say hats off to the winners.
My only comment is it's trending in the right direction. The gap is closing.
Not sure if we have a quorum or a quarrel. I don't have any opening comments. Good morning, everyone. Happy birthday, Steve.
Thank you.
It is really fun, though, to have that rivalry back. 18 years since they played at UND. It feels like it can't possibly have been that long, because I'm pretty sure I was at that game 18 years ago, and it doesn't feel like it has been that long. So it's fun to have them in the same conference, and quite certain that they'll be competitive for years to come.
It was, and I had watched on TV with my UND wife as part of our mixed marriage, and yes, it was a great game, really two excellent teams.
Yeah, it was. I also watched it on TV.
Well, at least you married well.
That's why Randy's so smart. All right. We have, I think, 15 or so items on consent and minutes from our last meeting. I move approval of those items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. All right. Our meeting is not going to be nearly as long as last week's. Well, knock on wood, it shouldn't be nearly as long as last week's, unless some of us get
there you go,
a little
jinxing us.
Verbose in our comments. I have three items. I move the commission adopt the order on tree and shrub mitigation specifications in Savage Bakken Connector Incorporated 10-inch crude pipeline project siting application case number PU-16-753.
Second.
Thank you, Brian. So we approved in 2017 the permit for this 2-mile 10-inch crude oil pipeline in Williams County, and they have since have requested or agreed to be considered and adopt the new tree and shrub mitigation recommendations that the commission passed in 2019. So this order basically incorporates that new tree and shrub mitigation plan into this order instead of the previous one. There was 106 trees removed in this pipeline, and so the company will move forward under these new guidelines and hopefully be wrapping up their tree and shrub mitigation requirements in the not too distant future.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. The second item, I move the commission deem complete the combined application for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit and issue a notice of filing and public hearing in Highland Crude LLC 2.9 mile crude oil pipeline Williams County siting application case number PU-21-353.
Second.
So on July 30th, Highland filed a combined application for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit for the location of this nearly 3 mile, 8-inch crude oil transmission pipeline in Williams County. This pipeline basically connects the Highlands Epping Station to existing pipeline infrastructure for transport out of the state. It'll have a capacity of 30,000 barrels per day. The company didn't specify in its application whether this is connecting to the DAPL pipeline or not, so I don't know the answer to that question yet. But we will get answers like that and others at the hearing, which has been scheduled for November 22nd, 9 a.m. at Williston City Hall in Williston. And the public is invited to attend that hearing and offer any input it has on this pipeline.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you. And finally, I move the commission rescind its September 22nd motion issuing a notice of hearing and approve this motion to issue a notice of hearing in Basin Electric Power Cooperative Wind Energy Facility Lighting Waiver Application Case Number PU-21-375.
Second.
So this is Basin's request to waive its requirement for light mitigating technology at its Prairie Winds facility near Minot. This is based on a difficulty in working out agreements with the Air Force for implementing that. We had originally scheduled the hearing a few weeks earlier. The notice didn't run, so now we have to re-notice it. And so that's all that this is. And so we've scheduled a different time for the hearing. It will be November 18th, Thursday, November 18th at 8:30 a.m. It will be here in the commission hearing room. And again, the public is encouraged to attend the hearing in person and provide testimony, or you can view it electronically and listen telephonically and provide input that way on the day of the hearing, or you can provide input in writing between November 18th and November 26th, sending it to the PSC either by mail or online. And that's it for that.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. That concludes my portfolio. Over to you, Randy.
Before I make it, I will just say this motion seems kind of wonky because it involves a name change that is very similar to the previous name. So I move the commission approve the parent guarantee filed on August 17th, 2021 in Oliver Wind 1 LLC, 50.6 megawatt Oliver Wind 1 Energy Center at Center, North Dakota, decommissioning plan and cost, case number PU-21-368, which replaces the parent guarantee approved on July 23rd of 2020 in FPL Energy Oliver Wind 1 LLC, 50.6 megawatt Oliver Wind Energy Center, Center, North Dakota, decommissioning plan and cost, case number PU-10-101.
Second.
So on June 27th of 2018, this commission approved a decommissioning plan and cost estimate for what was then FPL Energy Oliver Wind 1 in the amount of $2,970,000. And that facility has a nameplate capacity of 50.6 megawatts and consists of 22 turbines, and they are each 2.3 megawatts. On July 23rd of 2020, we approved the decommissioning parent guarantee for the full amount of that $2.97 million decommissioning estimate. The facility was ultimately repowered with an operation date of July 9th of 2020 as part of the repowering and a corporate financing transaction. FPL Energy Oliver Wind 1's assets were transferred to just Oliver Wind 1. So they dropped the FPL Energy part of it. The guarantor, NextEra Energy Capital Holdings, is the guarantor on both, so there's really no change in that part of it. The guarantee will now reflect Oliver Wind 1 as the owner. Staff has reviewed the parent guarantee and recommends approval, as do I.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio.
Thank you, Commissioner Crispin. Over to you, Brian.
Okay, I've got three items. The first, I move the commission adopt the order and notice of default in Public Service Commission Dean's Excavating Damage Prevention Enforcement Case Number PU-20-340.
Second.
On July 10th of 2020, the commission received a North Dakota one-call complaint, from Senex Pipeline, alleging a violation by Dean's Excavation of North Dakota Century Code, Chapter 49-23. Commission staff did send a letter to Dean's requesting a response by July 24th. At that point in time, no response was received. That was back in July of 2020. On June 16th of 2021, Commission Advocacy staff filed a complaint alleging that Dean's Excavating violated North Dakota Century Code by failing to provide an excavation or location notice before beginning an excavation. And on July 14th of 2021, the Commission found that the complaint stated a prima facie case and service of the complaint was initiated on July 15th of 2021 and August 17th of 2021. On August 23rd of 2021, a return receipt was signed by Ardell, I believe that's Bewer, registered agent for Deans, as evidenced by the return receipt on file with the commission. Advocacy staff did file and serve a notice of motion for order of default and a motion for order of default and memorandum of law requesting a commission order declaring Deans in default. Dean's Excavating, LLC, is, I just noticed in the first paragraph now that we have Dean's Excavation, that should actually be Dean's Excavating in the first paragraph. It's not Dean's Excavation, it's Dean's Excavation. But with that said, Dean's Excavating, LLC, is located in Minot, North Dakota. This was an excavation that began for a foundation for a new home in proximity to the Senex Pipeline. It was in Logan, North Dakota. That's a very small community in Ward County. And that's a violation of North Dakota one-call law, which states accepting an emergency, an excavator shall contact the notification center and provide an excavation or location notice before beginning any excavation. Deans violated North Dakota Century Code again because they did not provide an excavation or location notice. No damage occurred as a result of the excavation, but advocacy staff recommended a penalty of $500, which is consistent with fines that have been levied for this type of a violation in the past. Did have a fair amount of conversation with them on this, and my question was whether or not the amount was appropriate, given they hadn't called, but that is the amount that has been for a number of years applied. And so I was in agreement from the standpoint of consistency, but I think it bears review going forward. So as a result of the violation, Dean's Excavating would be assessed, if this is approved, a civil penalty of $500 payable in full with no amount suspended.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Brian, I I do agree with you that I think the amount could be examined for a higher amount, and would support that if you and staff made a recommendation to look at a higher starting fee or fine for folks who simply don't call. It might make its way through the, you know, channels of communication among excavators that this is not something you want to miss doing. And so I agree with you, but I also will support this. Yeah.
The one where I, not pausing on reviewing the amount, but the one part that was pointed out, and I think it was fair, when you look at the history and when this occurred, instead of retroactively changing those amounts, to have moved this one, for example, to $1,000. Because I did have that conversation with Victor, and it was a good point. It could be viewed as discriminatory in nature when a series of other violators had been fined the $500 amount for this type of a thing. So, you know, it's hard to get this to apply standards that aren't discriminatory in nature and are objective rather than subjective. I think that's the big challenge. It always has been with damage prevention cases. But if convening, setting new baselines, if deemed appropriate, I think would be the correct next step in these types of cases. So not to diminish, you know, the thoughts. Obviously, I think we're in agreement on how we're viewing this, but really setting a baseline going forward. And we have been more aggressive with the fines, without question, as a whole. And the complaints have been ratcheting down proportionately. So I think it's effective, but there's always room for improvement.
Well, I'll also help, I guess, provide signal. I'll say on these damage prevention cases, I think you as portfolio holder and staff have done a great job of kind of standardizing things and moving them forward, getting many of them solved through settlements and such. But the fact is there's no two that are exactly alike. So I know it's a challenging thing to figure out what proper amounts are. I did flag the same thing in my notes leading up to this, that gosh, if they're not even going to be responsive, maybe this is a little bit low. And yeah, if and when we make adjustments to penalties that are recommended, then it never seems right with whatever the penalty was for cases that were similar before that. But at some point, we also, I think, need to recognize where there are weaknesses or where better signals need to be sent. And so I keep up the good work, but I thought, too, that maybe that was an area that deserved a second look in future cases.
Is there any further discussion?
I just was listening to the news this morning and heard this story about the oil pipeline spill in California, and it sounds like it might have been caused by an anchor that was dropped and then pulled the pipeline. And so I don't know if there's a call before you anchor rule, but I did make me curious, what do they have to do out there in the ocean if that's what the initial investigation suggested, because the pipeline was dragged a good distance across the floor of the ocean and caused a lot of damage. So anyway, there's underground infrastructure everywhere, even in the ocean, so you got to check before you do stuff.
I don't have a good answer to the call before you anchor or North Dakota, maybe on Sakakawea, but I would probably pull the boat under because it would be a small boat.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, next up, and before I'd be remiss to not thank staff for what they've been doing on the damage prevention front, the enforcement front. I think they've really been hitting it hard without question, and we had set goals last spring in terms of getting caught up, if you will, and they're really on top of it. And so thank you. I know they're listening. Thank you to all involved. Doing a really, really nice job. Well, one other thing on that, I'm not trying to drag this out, but one thought I did have as well, and I think it would be, we would have to wait, I believe, or potentially wait until the next session, unless it would be possible to do through rulemaking, but just food for thought. There really isn't, to my knowledge, any requirement that a complaint be filed within a set period of time. Sometimes we'll receive a complaint 6 months, 9 months, even a year later after a violation has occurred. And I think we would be well served to shorten that. Otherwise, these potential complaints can sit out there forever. And I know they have to go through the process, but I think I will be looking for some type of a mechanism to where there's a 180-day period in which a complaint can be filed or something to that effect, because they can basically sit out there indefinitely. And if there's truly a complaint, someone should file it right away. They know at the time it happened. So just one last piece to that. Okay, next on BK2, I move the commission suspend the rates, reduce the application fee to $10,000, and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Otter Tail Power Company Transmission Facility Cost Recovery 2022 rates, case number PU-21-376.
Second.
On September 16th, 2021, Otter Tail Power filed an annual update under its transmission facility cost recovery rider tariff. The proposed rate update for 2022 includes the costs for three new transmission projects, updated costs for previously approved projects, MISO revenues and expenses, Southwest Power Pool, SPP revenues and expenses, and a true-up amount from the current rate, the increase for a residential customer that they're requesting using 1,000 kilowatt hours per month would be 41 cents per month. The issues to be considered in this proceeding are whether the proposed rate adjustment complies with the Otter Tail Power tariff, the tariff they have in place, whether the incurred costs for new or modified electric transmission facilities are reasonable and prudent, and whether the incurred costs are eligible for recovery through the transmission cost recovery rider. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by November 20th of 2021. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a hearing. The update includes that they're proposing the addition of three new projects, as mentioned, including the Hoot Lake transformer, transmission line rebuild projects, and similar transmission extend life program projects. So a little different terminology, generally and conceptually, along the same lines. It also includes, as mentioned, forecast updates to previously approved projects, some back and forth on two complaints that were filed against MISO in terms of what MISO was receiving. The FERC knocked the return on equity down, then it moved back up a little bit, not as high as it once was, but some back and forth on that, and then SPP-related expenses, as mentioned. So this is a notice of opportunity for hearing. This is an annual update that they are required to file, they being Otter Tail Power, as well as the other utilities for their respective riders. And we'll move forward and process this as the others.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and finally, I move the commission suspend the rates, reduce the application fee to $10,000, and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing and Northern States Power Company Renewable Resource Cost Recovery 2022 rates, case number PU-21-389.
Second.
This was received on, the request from NSP was received on September 21st of 2021. They filed for approval of their 2022 renewable energy rider. The purpose of the rider is to recover from NSP North Dakota Electric customers costs of renewable energy generation not presently reflected in retail rates. In the filing, NSP would recover costs of two previously approved projects. The 2022 rate would change. The increase would result in a, this is a little, I'm gonna have to explain this. As the notice, and it's correct, is written, it reflects an increase of 79 cents per month for the average residential electric customer. So we just had a rate case, seven projects that were in the renewable energy rider were moved into base rate. so that was a part of the rate case we processed this past year. Two projects remained in the rider because they were not fully in service. So two of them remained in the rider. So the rider actually decreased from $13.4 million as a result of this filing down to $4 million is what they're proposing for 2022, which would be actually be a decrease of $3.29 per month. But again, remember that the seven previously approved rider projects that were reflected in customers' bills moved into base rate. So this is, I think it's either a 3 or 4 month period where the two that weren't fully approved, or fully in service, I should say, remained in the rider. Now they will be in full going into 2022. So compared to a year ago, it's a decrease of $3.29 a month, but we had that 4 month period from when the new rates, electric rates, went into effect on, I believe, September 1st. So drop down, and then now the two that were previously approved will be brought to the level that they should be at going forward. So it's a bit of a yo-yo. In terms of the rates, it's the rider will be, again, less than 2021, more than what the current, I would call it temporary rate has been, just to get through to the first of the year. So a little bit of movement, but again, the two projects were that will be included in the 2022 rider were previously approved. So that was probably not terribly clear, but it's how the order does need to be processed. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by November 20th of 2021. And if deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and that concludes my portfolio.
Excellent. All righty. Just make a couple of announcements about our calendar. So tomorrow we are in Mandan for a hearing on a transmission line that is some changes that are they're doing to a transmission line leading to and from Heskett and a transformer over there. And then later this month we have the hearings starting on the various wind farm lighting extension requests. That's on October 13th, and those again are going to be here in the commission hearing room. And then in November, we have a couple more hearings on the lighting issues, as well as another sighting hearing out in Williston. So with that, we will now take a brief break, followed by questions from the media, and then we'll reconvene. I don't know, we'll talk after we get done with our questions, see what time we want to reconvene.